Hello, it's week three, so that means I'm bringing the message today. God's hands, God's plans is what I titled it. I'm going to relay from my point of view concerning the recent heart attack I suffered and how I saw God with me throughout the event. Some may chalk certain things up to coincidence or that's just how things are, but I will not be convinced that God did not have full control and an impact on what took place. So we'll get into that message today. Okay, week three message. Let's get things started here in our PowerPoint. Bear with me for just a second here. So God's hands, God's plans. It all began around 5 p.m. on Tuesday, December 26, 2023, which was 23 days before this recording. I was upstairs in our two-story house when the pain began. A few minutes later, my wife, who was in another room across the hall, took notice and asked, "Are you okay?" I said, as I motioned to my chest, "I think so. I have this tightness that needs to pass." A few minutes later, as the pain intensified, I laid back on our bed with my arms stretched out to my sides, just laying back on the bed. And I thought that I needed to relieve the stress and stretch out the tightening chest, and perhaps the pain would go away. From across the hall, I heard once again, "Are you okay?" I said, "I don't know. This pain isn't going away." After lying on the bed for a few minutes, I went downstairs and sat on the love seat and began to pray more seriously. I came to the point where I just point blank asked God, saying, "Lord, is this it? Or are you going to do something about this? Or should I go?" And I remember pointing down the street toward the hospital as if I asked, "Should I go?" As I prayed, my wife came downstairs and sat in the chair right next to me. She now had a concerned look on her face as she asked me one more time, "Are you okay?" I knew the answer to that question I had asked God, and I said, "No, let's go." There was no panic as I started leaving things behind, emptying my pockets, and as Sue gathered up what she thought she would need to bring along. We got into the car and I drove to the hospital, pulled into the lot, parked the car, and walked through the emergency entrance. I went to the desk to check in. The woman at the desk asked me, "Why are you here?" I answered, "I have chest pain that just won't quit. I have labored breathing and I'm breaking into cold sweats." She replied as she motioned toward the waiting room, "Okay, sit over there." As I turned around, I said, "Okay, here we go," referring to my dislike for sitting in an ER waiting room for potentially hours. I thought that maybe the pain would go away and I could walk out before the ringing up of a big bill. It was only about 20 seconds later that I heard my name called, and I was taken back to triage area, and the nurse began checking my vital signs. As she did her work, an ER doctor began asking me questions. He had the nurse take me across the hall to the technician for an EKG. The technician said he had to take the results to the doctor, and then he would come back and draw some blood. He returned with a wheelchair and asked me to sit in it. I said, "So no blood?" He replied, "Oh, we'll get your blood, but right now you need to get down to the treatment room." I was wheeled into a room where four people were buzzing about preparing for my visit. I was asked to sit forward for a second for a reason I couldn't remember. By that time, my wife had been brought back to join me. I believe the doctor was beginning to talk to her as I was asked to lean forward. My wife told me later that they were preparing me for an X-ray. As I leaned forward, I remembered saying, "My head is feeling really and everything went gray." I was out. I woke on my back on the table and was confused and flailing about, hearing two or three women telling me, "You're okay, you're okay. We just had to shock you back into rhythm." I heard someone say, "We're going now." With urgency, they rolled the table and me past my wife and down the hall. Was taken into a room they referred to as the cath lab and transferred me onto another table. I was told that they were going to perform an angioplasty and that they were going to take care of me. I was asked some questions, and then I was told that I was being given some relaxation medicine. It took effect pretty quickly, and I barely remember seeing the doctor who was going to do the procedure. I was not totally under, however, as I remember the shadowy visions of the doctor threading the catheter up my arm and of the monitor he was watching as he did the procedure. I was then taken to a room where I would stay for 3 nights. I was told that they took care of the problem that brought me in there, which was a total blockage of the circumflex artery, in which they inserted a stent. I was also told that there were other blockages of 40-50%, including the left anterior descending artery, which was 80% blocked. I was told that the plan was for me to heal from the trauma of the emergency and then return in a few weeks to have another stent inserted into the LAD artery. The next morning, Wednesday, the cardiac doctor came into the room to inform me that he was going to insert the second stent that afternoon. He told me that he was still unsure why I went into arrest the previous evening, but wanted me as clean as possible before he sent me home. The procedure was successfully done, and my recovery was underway, and I was discharged Friday. So that brings us to today, which these days I attend cardiac rehab appointments at the Heart Center attached to the hospital, and I'm progressing well. I feel great. I'm healing, growing stronger, losing weight with the change in the diet. And Sue and I are finally putting into practice the things we have learned over the years concerning our diet and good and bad eating habits. I guess the urgency of the matter propelled us to finally make some changes. So let's talk about God's plans. That is the physical account of the story. I don't have any psychological or emotional issues or scars to deal with from that event, at least none that I am currently aware of. While praying in my hospital room, I ask God to remove from me or repair in me anything that is a result of the trauma my body had gone through. What of the spiritual side? What of the why of this happening? Was this an attack of the enemy, Satan and his minions? Was this a part of the plan of God for my life? Was this simply a result of bad choices, of genetics, and of living in a fallen world? The answer is yes and no. There are a few things I believe, and they all played a part in this event. God has a plan for each of our lives. God has given us the free will to make decisions in how we live out our lives. Our spiritual enemy seeks to influence us to make the wrong decisions. There are times when the enemy does try to attack us, sometimes succeeding, whether it be physical, emotional, or spiritual attacks. And concerning the heart attack, I believe my body reacted to a long life of poor decisions as well as hereditary markers. The enemy would have liked to, and perhaps tried to, take me out through this event. I don't believe he caused it, but I fully believe that he would like to take advantage of it. I live in a fallen world where evil abounds, where death has entered in, and the plans of God are affected with our poor choices heightening the problem. God is not yet finished with me. He still has plans for me, for what he would like me to do for the kingdom of God. God did not allow the enemy to have his way, taking me out. Thank you to all who prayed for my welfare. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." God was not finished with me yet. I do not believe that the heart attack was a part of the plans of God for my life. And it will be interesting if I'm able to read his plans for me someday in eternity. God does have plans for my life and yours, and I believe they were written out before we were born. Jeremiah says in chapter 29, verses 11 and 12, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Psalm 139:15 to 17 says, My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! This did not take God by surprise, and he will use it for good, for the good of the kingdom. I have already used this many times as a testimony to glorify God. God uses the good, the bad, and the ugly things in our lives to mold us, to train us, and as examples for others. Sometimes there is good and lessons in what we ought to do in living and decision making. Sometimes there is bad and lessons in what we ought not to do. God takes it all and uses for the good of his children and for his kingdom. Romans 8:28 says, And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. The testimony of this event has led to a deeper conversations with others, which have led to ministry opportunities. The point is, God will take the events of our lives, good and bad, and use them for his purposes if we are walking with him. He blessed me with perfect peace throughout the whole event of the heart attack. There was zero anxiety, no anxiousness within me. I was able to calmly sit in my living room and ask God what he wanted to do and what he wanted me to do. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7 says, Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I have fully surrendered and put myself in God's hands. In doing so was the perfect peace that is only given to us by God. I believe that Sue had this peace as well. The reason I drove to the hospital was that I didn't want her to struggle with driving and parking after dark if she was anxious or emotional. After the fact, I saw that she would have been perfectly fine to drive to the hospital when I saw that she had that peace all along. So let's take a look at God's hands in the matter. I can see the hand of God from start to finish through this whole event. At home, there was discernment. There came a point when I realized this was something that I was not going to be able to muscle through or outlast. God responded to my prayer with a simple word in my spirit, go. Again, there was the peace of God, which I've already addressed. The drive, there was patience. The drive was an even-paced, under-control ride, just as when I give my wife a ride to work at that hospital each day. I noticed the parking lot and the parking ramp appeared to be full as I turned the corner toward the lot entrance. I then noticed a man walking across the driveway, and then another person following him. They got into a vehicle to pull out. I waited less than 20 seconds and pulled into the second spot from the drive. Then in the emergency room, it was easy to see why the parking areas were full, as the ER was packed. I didn't see an empty seat at first glance. I didn't have to wait to check in. I headed straight to the woman at the desk. When I was directed to take a seat, I turned and saw a spot with three seats available, and I was able to sit down right away. The part I dreaded, sitting for hours in the ER waiting room, which some had done for quite a while there by what I was hearing, didn't happen for me. It was roughly 20 seconds until my name was called. When the ER doctor appeared, he was asking all of these specific questions to get the answers he needed to make an assessment. He directed everything from there without wasted moments. He was on top of his game. The EKG technician told us that there were others, so that it may be a few minutes. I'm not sure what the nurse said to him, but he had me sit down right away. They got me on the table in the treatment room minutes before the event peaked. I was in the right place at the right time. By multiple accounts of my doctors and nurses over those days, they were telling me had I not gotten there when I got there, I most likely wouldn't be here today. Then there's the hospital stay itself and the care and love I felt from everybody that treated me. During the hospital time, everything went nearly perfect during my stay. There was one IV issue that was corrected. The second procedure saved me from recovery, followed by another procedure and then another recovery. So it was a blessing to get it done that next day. All of my visitors were encouraging to me and thankful to the Lord. I felt genuine compassion and concern from all my caregivers. I was at ease throughout the whole experience. Again, the peace of God. So let's take a look at a couple of lessons learned. And these may not be new lessons, but they were highlighted and reinforced for me. First, God's amazing timing. From the decision to the parking to the treatment room, God's timing was perfect through it all. This was timing for me and all I went through. This was also timing for others and all they went through in their day to be there when they were there, how they were there, prepared to care for me. Then there was the fact that there was never a fear of death. The perfect peace that is given by God removes all fear and anxiety. 1 John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Then there's the level of my faith. This was a revelation of the level of my faith to me. My level of faith was affirmed to me as I was able to totally surrender to the will of God as to whether this was it or he wanted to do something about it. I was 100% surrendered to him. And later, as I thought about it, it was a pleasant revelation of my faith was strong enough to just trust him. Then I considered, what are the reasons to stay in this life? And there's only two of them for me, to be honest. Two reasons. I had a choice. This is if I had a choice to stay or go. The first one would be Sue. I can't imagine living without Sue in my life. Likewise, I can't imagine how hard it would be on her if I was taken out of her life. God is good, and we would survive, but it's not the optimal choice for either one of us. The second reason is working for the kingdom of God. If God still has work for me to do that he wants me to do, I'd be willing to stay, regardless of what this world throws at me. So then there are also things that were knowledge reinforced. It's in the time of crisis that things are reinforced and brought into focus. There's my wife, 4 daughters, 3 sons-in-law, and 8 grandchildren. The love and concern they each had for me. The meals they prepared for me and Sue. They want me around. That was all reinforced nicely. Then there's the love of friends, my friends who came by or contacted me. The love and concern each had for me. I was surprised by how many said, and they usually said it privately to me, hey, selfishly, I wanted you to hang around for a while. That was a pleasant surprise. But going forward, as I lay in my hospital bed praying at night, a couple of realizations came to me. The first one was, I had a greater sense of love for and from others. I don't believe the level of love has changed. I do believe my awareness of it had been heightened. I also sensed the love of the Father coming to me through others. The second one is a greater sense of thanksgiving, of thankfulness. Again, I don't believe the level of thankfulness has changed. I do believe my awareness of it has been heightened. It didn't hinge upon God sparing my life. I had surrendered myself to his will. It was a greater awareness of the goodness of God overall. The goodness of God as I saw, through the whole of the event. I am anxious to see how God uses this part of my life and where I go on from here. It is because of my faith and the personal relationship I have with God through Jesus Christ that this crisis moment actually can be viewed as a positive experience. I also have thankfulness for all who cared for me through that time, and those I am blessed to encounter moving forward through my healing and rehab. Thank you all, and thank you, Lord. So that's God's hands and God's plans. I saw it all through the whole event. So let's have a conversation about this, some of these points. How do we get to the point of walking so closely with God? So closely that we can completely trust in Him. So closely that we can completely surrender to Him. So closely that we don't have to be concerned about what the future holds for us. Secondly, what do we do to strengthen our faith? How did I get to that point? How will any of us get to that point? And have I arrived yet? No, I'm still growing. I still have things to improve on, things to do, things to learn, growth into Christian maturity, becoming like the Spirit of Christ. That's what He wants us to mature into. But how do we get there? We have to take practical steps to get there. And what will we do or suffer or go through for the sake of the kingdom of God? How many of us at some point in a deep prayer time with the Lord said, whatever you want, Lord, you just let me know and I'll go through it. You know, I got to ask myself, is 1 Corinthians 10:6 any different in our day than for those in earlier centuries and millennia? What does that say? It says, now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. And in here he's talking about some specific people, but there's other areas of the Bible where you can take verses that imply this also. Everything in the Bible was basically written down as an example for us or instruction for us. Now, if it was Old Testament and New Testament people that followed God and it was all recorded for an example or a teaching moment or instruction, why would that be any different for our lives? How many people are watching us? How many people are watching me to see if I'll live the type of life that I preach everyone ought to live? If I would have been all filled with anxiety and not trusting God, it would have gone against everything I've preached over the past 15 years. So this verse does have something to do with it. You know, are we really watching for the way we live, knowing that others are watching us because we are the living example of what we learn from Christ in Scripture? Now, there's a couple previous videos that you could look at that kind of tie into this. I did a two-part series called Going Through It back in September when I first began with OKM. So these were 2 months apart. The first one was in August. The second one was in September. So if you went to the TV site, OmegaKingdomMinistry.tv, you could find the OKM Live from these 2 dates and look at my segment in there. Or if you want, you can take these links here. These go to my Rumble page where I also uploaded those lessons. As far as the conversation that I'd like to have with you, you can join us at OK Cafe. You can leave comments either there or on these videos, or you can join us and participate in these weekly Zoom calls. We started Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and we've also added Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. So I live in the Central Time Zone, so anyone that's from around here that knows me, friends, relatives, it's noon on Tuesdays and 9 a.m. on Sundays. And that link, let me quit sharing this presentation here. And let's end this. And let's go to the page here with this is the Omega Kingdom Ministry site. You can see up here okmtraining.org. And if you go to online ecclesia, you see right here the fourth tab in OKM Live, which was the Sunday show we were doing. And here, if you click on OK Cafe, it'll take you right down to this page here. And this link is good for the Zoom call either Tuesday or Sunday. So it's easy to get on there. It's easy to get a hold of us. It's easy to come in and have the conversation. So I encourage you to join us. Let's have a conversation about it. Let's all grow together in the grace of God. So I encourage you to go and be a blessing to someone else. Be an encourager. Support those who need it. Remember, pure religion is taking care of the widows and orphans. It's not the things we do and the religious rules and law and all that stuff. What Christ commanded us to was to love God first with our whole being and then love one another. So with that, I look forward to seeing you either Sunday or Tuesday. Have a great rest of your day.